بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Today's lesson number 41 in our series on أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakami رحمه الله. And in the previous few lessons we've been looking at the Quran and belief in the Quran as part of belief in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the pillars of Iman: belief in Allah, belief in the angels, belief in his books. And from the greatest of those books, the last of those books, is the Quran. In the previous lessons we've been looking at the meaning of believing in Allah's books, and this brought us to question number 81, and the question was ما الذي يجب التزامه في حق القرآن على جميع الأمة, and which means what is obligatory to adhere to in relation to the right of the Quran over the whole ummah. So what is the right of the Quran over the whole of the ummah? What is obligatory for us to adhere to? And so Sheikh Hafiz rahimahullah, he explains to us what is this right. So he says هو اتباعه ظاهرا وباطنا, it is to follow it outwardly and inwardly, وَالتَّمَسَّقُ بِهِ وَالْقِيَامُ بِحَقِّهِ, and to hold fast to it, and to fulfill its right, to fulfill its right. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Exalted said, Allah the Exalted said,
the speaker's not on. Ladies of Sabta.
So the question was, what is obligatory upon the whole of the Ummah with respect to holding to the Quran, to the Book of Allah, and fulfilling the right of the Quran? And Sheikh Hafiz Rahimullah, he said, it is to follow it outwardly and inwardly, هو اتباعه ظاهرا وباطنا والتمسك به والقيام بحقه, and to hold fast to it and to fulfill its right. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Exalted said, وهذا كتاب أنزلناه مبارك فاتبعوه واتقوا لعلكم ترحمون. This is a book which we have sent down, blessed, so follow it, and فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا, and fear, have taqwa, in order that you may be shown mercy. He also said, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, the Exalted also said, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُم مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا, follow that which has been revealed to you from your Lord, and do not follow besides him any friends or protectors. And he says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, the Exalted also said, this is question number 81, the Exalted also said,
وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُسْلِحِينَ.
Indeed, those who hold fast to the book and who establish the prayer, indeed, we do not cause the reward of those who are righteous to be wasted. Then he says, وَهِيَ عَامَةٌ فِي كُلِّ كِتَابٍ, this is general for every book. So meaning all of the books that Allah revealed, all those books had a right upon those people upon whom they were revealed, which is what the Shaykh is explaining. And وَالْآيَاتُ فِي ذَلِكَ كَثِيرًا, the verses in that regard are very many. وَأَوْسَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَقَالْ فَخُذُوا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَتَمَسَّكُوا بِهِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised with the Book of Allah when he said in the hadith, so take by the Book of Allah, or hold to the Book of Allah, and hold fast to it. وفي حديث علي مرفوعا, and likewise the hadith reported by Ali, which is, you know, traces back to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, إنها ستكون فتن, indeed there are going to be tribulations or trials. قلت, I said, meaning Ali, ما المخرج منها يا رسول الله, he said, what is the way to escape them, O Messenger of Allah? He said, قال كتاب الله. He said, the Book of Allah. And he mentioned the rest of the hadith. Okay, so this is Sheikh Hafiz's answer, explaining what is obligatory upon all of the Ummah towards the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first, we have the speech of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah. And he says, as for this Qur'an, أما القرآن فهو كلام الله المنزل على عبده ورسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this Qur'an is the speech of Allah, which he revealed upon his servant and messenger Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. And it is obligatory upon the Muslims, يجب على المسلمين أن يحكموه فيما بينهم, that the Muslims, it is obligatory upon them to make the Qur'an to be a judge in the affairs that are between them. وَيَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَيْهِ, and in their disputes, when they have a difference about anything, that they make the Qur'an to be the judge between them. وَأَنْ يُصَدِّقُوا خَبَرَهُ, and that they believe in its reports. So whatever reports have come, because this is the ilm of Allah, it is the knowledge of Allah, it is the truth, that we must believe in those reports about past nations, about the unseen, about the future, about paradise, about hellfire, whatever is mentioned in the Quran of reports, then we believe in them. وَأَنْ يَمْتَثِلُوا أَمْرَهُ, that they fulfill its command, وَأَنْ يَجْتَنِبُوا نَحْيَهُ, and that they avoid its prohibition, وَأَنْ يَعْتَنُوا بِهِ حَقَّ الْعِنَايَةِ, and that they show concern with this Qur'an and preoccupation with the Qur'an as it truly should be concerned with, تِلَاوَةً, in terms of reciting it. So we give it all of the intention, all of the attention in terms of reciting it, وَتَدَبُّرًا, in terms of reflecting upon it, وَعِلْمًا, in terms of acquiring knowledge from it, وَعَمَلًا, and acting upon it. فَلَوْ فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ لَنَصَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا كُلِّ عَدُوٍ, if they were to do that, then Allah would aid them against every enemy. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ, and Allah the Exalted, He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ أَقَامُوا التَّوْرَاةِ ولو أنهم أقاموا التوراة ولو أنهم أقاموا التوراة والإنجيل وما أنزل إليهم من ربهم لأكلوا من فوقهم ومن تحت أرجلهم منهم أمة مقتصدة وكثير منهم ساء ما يعملون. So this is addressing the people upon whom the Torah and the Injil were revealed, that if they established the Torah and the Injil and whatever was revealed to them from their Lord, if they were to establish that, meaning abide by it, then they would have eaten, meaning they would have been given provision and sustenance from above them and from beneath their feet, from the ground, meaning as a blessing for following and establishing the book. And among them, meaning among the people of the book, is a nation that is muqtasida, meaning that they are moderate and just, and many of them, how evil it is what they do. So the Sheikh goes on to say, Sheikh Ahmed Rahimullah, that because they turned away from the Book of Allah and they abandoned it and they went to other things and they judged to the secular laws which they took from the people of disbelief. Speaking here now about the Muslims. This action which they did, هذا العمل الذي عملوه بسببه أوجب الله عليهم الظلة والمحانة. Because of this action that the Muslims fell into, that they abandoned the Book of Allah and they went to other things, you see there are some nations or the leaders of some of these nations, they went towards socialism, others went towards communism, socialism, communism. Others went to nationalism of different types and sorts. They left the Book of Allah and they turned to other things and they turned to other laws. So Allah brought upon this humiliation and this disgrace upon them. And the Shaykh mentions the well-known famous hadith, the hadith in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya ma'ashir al-muhajireen, O gathering of the emigrants, خَمْسٌ إِذَا ابْتُلِيتُمْ بِهِنَّ وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَن تُدْرِكُوهُنَّ. There are five things that if you are put to trial with them, and I seek refuge in Allah, that you reach them, meaning you reach the time in which people are put to trial with them. He said, لَمْ تَظْهُرْ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ قَطَّ حَتَّى يُؤْلِنُ بِهَا إِلَّا فَشَى فِيهِمُ الطَّاعُونَ وَالْأَوْجَاعُ التي لم تكن مضت في أسلافهم الذين مضوا. He said there are five. He said that never does open, like fahisha, open lewdness and shamelessness, emerge in a people ever until they openly display it, except that plagues and diseases will spread among them that their ancestors that were never present among the ancestors. وَلَمْ يَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ إِلَّا أُخِذُوا بِالسِّنِينَ وَشِدَّةِ الْمُعْنَةِ وَجَوْرِ سُلْطَانِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And never do they fall short in the weights and measures. Falling short in the weights and measures. وَالْمِيزَانِ and in the scales. Right? So meaning that you people start cheating in the basic weights and measures when they buy and sell, so people do not give the full measure, you know, of the fruit or the potatoes or the vegetables or whatever, and then you cheat or you dilute the milk or whatever, things like this, cheating in the weights and measures. Never do the people do that, except that they are taken by years of like famine or hardship and scarcity of provision and the tyranny of the ruler over them. The tyranny of the ruler over them. Right? So this is like an explanation as to why we have tyrannical, unjust rulers who demand their rights but do not give the rights of the people, why we have famines, why we have scarcity of provision. It ultimately returns back to the deeds of the people. So when the people start cheating each other in small things, like small things, someone comes to you and, you know, he wants 5 kilograms of potatoes, so you give him 4 kilograms and the rest is just, you know, just the soil and, you know, when you put it in the bag. So you've cheated him out of a kilo of potatoes. Or you dilute the milk. You take the milk, you dilute it by 20% or something. These little things that Muslims do, which they think nothing of, they think something is very little. It means, you know, they're probably thinking, how on earth can this come back and harm me or this? You know, they don't know. But these are the things, when the people do them in a society, they eventually translate into, or they lead into these things that are mentioned. By way of a law of Allah in His creation, right? Because these are all laws of Allah in His creation. That whenever a people do such and such, then such and such happens. So here, the second one, that when the people cheat in weights and measures, they are taken by three things: years of hardship, meaning things like famine, scarcity of provision, and the tyranny of the ruler over them.
Then he said, وَلَمْ يَمْنَعُوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ إِلَّا مُنِئُوا الْقَطَرْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَلَوْلَا الْبَهَائِمْ لَمْ يُمْتِرُوا وَلَمْ يُمْتِرُوا. That never do they withhold the zakah upon their wealth, except that they have prevented the rain from the sky. And had it not been for the creatures, for the beasts, the creatures, then they would never be given rain. Then he said, وَلَمْ يَنْقُصُوا أَهْدَ اللَّهِ وَأَهْدَ رَسُولِهِ إِلَّا سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِّنْ غَيْرِهِمْ فَأَخَذُوا بَعْدَ مَا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ. Never do they violate or break the covenant of Allah and the covenant of His Messenger, except that Allah empowers their enemies over them. He unleashes their enemies over them, who empower them, and then they take some of that which used to be in their possession. So here there's another example of how and why the enemies of the people of Islam, how are they unleashed? How do they gain ascendancy over the Muslims? Because the Muslims break the covenant of Allah and His Messenger. What is that covenant? The covenant is to single out Allah in worship, to worship Him upon Tawheed, and to give obedience to his Messenger, Tawheed and the Sunnah. And so when the people violate those covenants, and then you see in the Muslim nations, many Muslim nations, they worship the graves, they worship the tombs, they turn to the awliya for rescue and relief and aid and support and things like this. They have tombs, they have mausoleums, they travel to them, they sacrifice at them for the inhabitants of the grave, they even make tawaf around them. All of this is a violation of the covenant of Allah, and it is a violation of the book. This is what the Quran came with. It's a violation of the book. And so this is the fourth thing that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. And the fifth thing he then said, وَمَا لَمْ تَحْكُمْ أَئِمَّتُهُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَيَتَخَيِّرُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ بَأْسَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ. Never do their rulers not judge by the book of Allah and take from what Allah revealed, except that Allah will make strife between them, among the leaders of the Muslims or among the Muslims. So all of these, as you can see, all of this is just an example of when people leave the book of Allah and abandon the book of Allah. This is the reason why Allah empowers enemies over the people of Islam. As for, we have some commentary here from Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh. So this is regarding question number 81. What is obligatory upon us to hold on to regarding the right of the Quran? So Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, hafizahullah, he says that from the fruits of Iman in the Quran, in the mighty Quran, is that a servant, he acts upon this Quran. The Quran is not taken, the Sheikh says, it's not taken as mazamir, ما أنزل لتتلذذ بأصوات القارئين. Right, the Quran wasn't revealed so that people find pleasure in listening to the voices of the reciters, where they get pleasure from the beautiful way that it's being recited, or the way that instruments are played. The Quran wasn't revealed for that. The Quran, إنما أنزل الله عز وجل أنزله الله عز وجل ليتدبر ثم يعمل به. The Quran, Allah revealed it so that it can be reflected upon and then it can be acted upon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, in explaining the reason for sending down the Quran, كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. A book which we revealed upon you, blessed, that they may reflect upon its signs. Very clear, that they may reflect upon its signs, and that the people of intelligence may remember or may take an admonition. فَالْقُرْآنِ فِيهِ الْخَيْرِ الْكَثِيرِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. So the Quran, within it there is plenty of goodness in this life and the next. And the Shaykh goes on to explain that Allah Azza wa Jal, He revealed this Quran لغايتين, for two objectives. Al-Ula, the first, أن يتدبر, as we've already mentioned, that it is reflected upon. قال تعالى أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها. Do they not reflect over the Quran, or are there locks upon their hearts? And the Shaykh goes on to explain that Al-Quran تُحَرِّكُ بِهِ الْقُلُوبِ, that the Quran is something by which the hearts are moved. يقول ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه, he quotes a narration from Ibn Mas'ud, لَا تَحُذُّوهُ حَذَّ الشِّعْرِ. The narration, in the narration, Ibn Mas'ud says that do not read it in the way that you read poetry, because it's not poetry. And do not read it in the way that you read like prose, like there's different types of speech. There's prose, there's poetry. Because the Quran is not normal speech, nor is it poetry. The Quran is unique and distinct. So it shouldn't be read like people, they recite their poetry, nor read like normal speech. But he said, قِفُوا عِنْدَ عَجَائِبِهِ وَحَرِّكُوا بِهِ الْقُلُوبِ. The Quran is something that you recite and then you ponder and stop and reflect at its wonders, and by which you stir and move the hearts. فَعَلَيْكَ أَن تُكَرِّرْ الْآيَاتِ. So therefore, when you read it, you read the ayat with repetition. Like you're not reading like normal speech, but you read the Quran in order to ponder and reflect. And to ponder and reflect, it means you read the ayah, then you reflect upon it, then you read it again. You keep reflecting till you gain the knowledge, the meaning, the admonition. This is how the Quran, because it is for tadabbur. And then he says that this Quran, that the ayat, that your heart is moved and your soul is moved, because iman is the result of the Quran. Iman, faith, it is the result. It comes and arises from the Quran, as Allah says, "Ma kunta tadri mal kitab walal iman," saying to the Messenger of Allah that you did not know before revelation. You did not know what is the book, and know what is iman. This means that iman is only a result of the Quran by reciting and reflecting the Quran. فَلَا إِمَانَ إِلَّا بِالْقُرْآنِ. There is no iman except with the Quran. الْإِيمَانُ لَا يَسْتَقِرُّ فِي الْقَلْبِ. The iman does not establish in the heart وَيَعْظُمْ and become great إلا بالتوجه لهذا القرآن العظيم تلذذا بسماعه وعملا بما جاء فيه من الأوامر والنواهي. Right, he says that this iman will not grow except by turning towards this mighty Quran, seeking pleasure by way of listening to it and acting upon what it has come with of commands and prohibitions. وتصديقا بخبره and believing in its reports واعتقادا لما أخبر الله جل وعلا به في كتابه, and believing in everything that Allah informed us about it in His book. So therefore, the Shaykh goes on to say, the haqq of the Quran, the right of the Quran over us is mighty, and from the greatest fruits of iman is that when a believer recites the Quran and reflects upon the Quran and he acquires the fruits of that iman. What are from the fruits of that iman? أَلَّا يَتَقَدَّمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ الْقُرْآنِ. Right? So from the greatest fruits of the Quran is the person does not put himself in front of the Quran or step in front of the Quran. مَا يُعَارِضُ الْقُرْآنِ بِالْأَقَلِ. Right? So his intellect, he doesn't precede the Quran with his intellect or give his intellect, you know, precedence over the Quran. Oh, you know, when he says, for example, "Ana ara kida," you know, I think such and such, and I think such and such, and I think such and such, and I think that Allah says such and such in the Quran, right? This is not allowed for a person to do this. So, whatever Allah has decreed upon us in the Quran, then We have to believe in it and be pleased with it, as Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ يعني في القرآن ورسوله يعني في السنة في سنته أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. It is not for a believing man or a believing woman that when Allah decrees a matter or decides on a matter and His Messenger regarding an affair, that they should have any choice in their affair. And likewise, Allah subhanahu he said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. But know by your Lord, they do not truly believe until they make you a judge in whatever has arisen between them of you know, disputes. And then they find in their souls no resistance against what you have judged, and they submit or accept with a full submission. So meaning that a believer only acquires the true fruits of iman, which he's taken from the Quran, when he finds there's no resistance in his heart. There's no resistance in his heart towards what the Quran came with of commands, of prohibitions, of reports, and he accepts all of it with full submission. So the Shaykh goes on to say that the fruits of belief in the Quran are great and mighty. What are they? From them is, first of all, fiha rif'atun laka. First of all, that you are raised. Right? You are raised by way of this Quran. As he mentions the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that on the Day of Judgment, يُؤْتَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِأَهْلِ الْقُرْآنِ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. On the Day of Judgment, the people of the Qur'an who used to act upon it will be brought. And they will be, Suratul Baqarah and Ali Imran, these two surahs, they will come. Allah will give them, like they will be, they will come in the form, as if they are like clouds. Like clouds, or they are like canopies, or they are like two flocks of birds, as if two flocks of birds. And they will come and they will argue in favor of the one who used to recite them and act upon them, memorize, act and recite upon them. So, in other words, the Shaykh says the Quran will come and it will come to the person. Here he says Sahib al-Qabr, to the person in the grave as well. And he will say, who are you? And they will say, the Quran. And it will please him because he preoccupied himself with the Quran. So these are just some examples of, there could be many, many others that could be brought from the Sunnah regarding the tremendous status of the people of the Quran and the fruits of strengthening one's iman by way of the Quran, by way of what the Shaykh mentioned, acting upon it inwardly and outwardly, believing in its reports, abiding by its commands, and so on and so forth. Now, this brings us to the next question, and this is question number 82, and question number 82 is similar to the previous question, it just elaborates a bit more. مَا مَعْنَى التَّمَسُّكْ بِالْكِتَابِ وَالْقِيَامِ بِحَقِّهِ. So this is kind of like an elaboration of the previous question. The previous question was, what is obligatory for us to adhere to regarding the Qur'an? It was a general answer. Here, مَا مَعْنَى التَّمَسُّكْ بِالْكِتَابِ وَالْقِيَامِ بِحَقِّهِ. So this is like an explanation of the previous question and answer. And so, the meaning of this is, what is the meaning of holding fast to the Qur'an? What does it mean to hold fast to the Qur'an and to establish its right? Establish its right. So the Shaykh now gives a more detailed answer. So he says, حِفْظُهُ, to memorize it, وَتِلَاوَتُهُ, and to recite it, وَالْقِيَامُ بِهِ أَهْنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and to establish it, meaning that you pray with it, or you establish it, abide by it, during the night and the day. وَالتَّدَبُّرْ آيَاتِهِ, to reflect upon its verses. وَإِحْلَالُ حَلَالِهِ وَتَحْرِيمُ حَرَامِهِ. Right, to make halal what Allah made halal in it, and to treat as haram what Allah made haram in it. وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لِأَوَامِرِهِ, and to comply with its commands. وَالْإِنْزِجَارُ بِزَوَاجِرِهِ, and to refrain from the things that it, you know, cautions against. وَالْإِعْتِبَارُ بِأَمْثَالِهِ, and to reflect upon the similitudes, the examples that Allah strikes. وَالْإِتِّعَاذُ بِقَصَصِهِ, and to take admonition through the stories, through its stories, which are the stories which Allah mentions, like about previous nations and things like that. وَالْعَمَلُ بِمُحْكَمِهِ, to act upon those verses which are very clear, are very clear, decisive in their meaning and understanding. وَالْتَسْلِيمُ لِمُتَشَابِهِهِ, and to submit to the verses which are unclear. والوقوف عند حدوده, to stop at the limits, at its limits, the limits prescribed by Allah in the Quran, the limits of things, to stop there, not to go beyond those limits. والذب عنه, and to defend it, لتحريف الغالين, to defend it from the distortions of those who go beyond bounds. وانتحال المبطلين, and the falsifications of the falsifiers. وَالنَّصِيحَةُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ مَعَانِيهَا, and to be sincere towards the Book of Allah through, you know, in all of its meanings. وَالدَّعْوَةُ إِلَى ذَلِكَ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ, and then to call the people to all of this upon basira, upon insight. Right, so here there's a lot more here, as you can see. And so Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah, he says that when you look at those who, at those people who give attention to the Quran, you see among the Muslims there are many people who give a great deal of concern to the Quran, to the alfaz, to the words, and that they, you know, they memorize the words. They grasp the words, they memorize the words. لَكِنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُ الْمَعْنَى, but he does not know the meaning. And هُوَ مَعَ ذَلِكَ يُنَابِذُهُ, and alongside that, he contends against the Qur'an. So this is a strange thing, that among the Muslims, you see those who, they can read it, they've memorized it, they can give you the grammar of the Qur'an, they can, you know, everything, but he is someone who's actually contending against the Qur'an. And he says, وَيَأْتِي أَعْظَمَ شَيْءٍ عُمِلْ وَهُوَ الشِّرْكُ الْأَكْبَرُ, and he brings the greatest thing that can, like the most, the gravest, the most serious deed that can be done, which is a shirk al-akbar. And he thinks that he hasn't actually opposed the Qur'an, the Book of Allah. And that's because the Sufiya, the people he's talking about, that in their minds, it's become firmly established in their minds, and the shirk innama hu sujood lis-sanam al-masnoor. Right? These people, it's been firmly put into their minds that shirk can only ever be that you take an idol which has been made by the hands of men, and then you start prostrating to that idol. Right? Now, meaning that you give the actual ritual acts of worship, which is you bow, you prostrate, that this is what is shirk. And as for what they do, the things that they do, where they make tawaf around the graves of the righteous, and they call upon the dead, and they ask for their needs, and they ask for, you know, rescue and things like this, that, you know, for them, they say, look, this is a proof that we love the righteous people. The righteous people have, you know, rights over us, and at least we people, we know their rights, and we are fulfilling their rights, and this does not clash with the Quran. This is not shirk. This is loving the righteous people, which we are commanded to do. And as for shirk, it is only like the idols, people who have the idols, and they go there and they make sujood to the idol. This now is actual worship, and this is what the, and shirk, and this is what the prophets warned against. So this is how they speak, right? And this idea has been firmly lodged into their minds by the evil scholars that they follow. And, you know, from an early age, هَكَذَا لُقِّنُوا مِنَ السِّغَرِ, right? They've been made to repeat this and say this from an early age. So the Shaykh says, you see, many of these people, when they study the Qur'an, they study the Qur'an, بِالْأَلْفَاذْ وَالْقِرَاءَاتِ, so they know all the words of the Qur'an, they know the different ways or the modes of recitation of the Qur'an, they might be very skilled in these sciences regarding the Qur'an, yet they are the most ignorant of its essential message that it came to convey. You find that they are actually mushrikeen. They call upon the dead, they invoke the dead, they seek rescue from the dead, they might even sacrifice to the dead. And, you know, so وَلِيَعْضُ بِاللَّهِ, this is a musibah, this is a calamity, this is a trial and tribulation. We ask Allah for pardon. And he says, this Qur'an was revealed so that it can be read, so that it can be memorized, so that meanings can be known, so that it can be judged too, that we judge by what the Qur'an judges with, that we believe in its reports, that we fulfill its commands, we keep away from its prohibitions. All of this is obligatory for us to do, for us to do that, until even regarding the people of the book, and this is a warning to the Muslims. Allah revealed in the Qur'an regarding the people of the book that they act upon some of the book and they leave other parts of the book. And the way Allah Azza wa Jal rebuked them, look at the way that He rebuked them. He said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you believe in part of the book and disbelieve in another part? He used the word disbelieve. Right? He didn't say, do you believe in part of the book and leave a part of the book? But he used the word iman and used the words iman and kufr. Do you believe? فَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. So he said, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَكَفَرُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا بِهِ. So meaning that he treated the people of the book as if they are believers only in the things they act upon and disbelievers in the things that they do not act upon. So this is the way that those people of the book were addressed and spoken of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, وَالَّذِي يَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ أَن يَتَحَاكَمَ إِلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. It is obligatory upon every Muslim that he judges to the book of Allah, and that he judges by it, and that he learns it, that he, you know, studies and learns it, and that he knows it as it truly should be known, and he acts upon whatever he is able to, you know, from whatever is wajib upon him. So this is question number 82. And likewise, commenting upon this is Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, Hafizahullah, and he says that what is required, the nasiha that we are obligated to show to the book of Allah, nasiha, and nasiha lillah wa likitabihi, the sincerity of purpose to the Qur'an, that is, that the Qur'an has a right over us. It is, what does it mean? It means, أَن يُعْطَى الْقُرْآنَ حَقَّهُ, that we give the Qur'an its right. It's right. وَهُوَ أَن يُوقَنُ بِأَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. Right, so Sheikh Saleh Ali Sheikh explains what is the right from another angle. He says, first of all, that we have absolute certainty it is the actual speech of Allah. تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, that Allah, He spoke it. وَأَنَّهُ آيَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ, that it is a mighty sign from the signs of Allah, which he gave to the prophets. وَأَنَّهُ الْحُجَّةُ حُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ إِلَىٰ قِيَامِ السَّاءَةِ, that it is the far-reaching proof or evidence until the establishment of the hour. Meaning this Qur'an that we believe, it is the hujjah upon the whole of mankind. It is the hujjah. and until the establishing of the hour. And that this Quran, fihi al-huda wa al-nur, that in this Quran there is guidance and there is light. Inna hadha al-Quran, inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwa. Indeed, this Quran guides to that which is most upright. And wa anna hukmahu wajibul infath, that its ruling or judgment is obligatory to implement. And you know, whatever Allah has commanded in the Quran, it is obligatory to implement. And what He prohibited us from, it is obligatory to keep away from. And whatever informed us, it is obligatory to believe and not to have any hesitation or doubt about those things that Allah informed us. Like as if they are hard to know. We must believe in them without hesitation. So this is the right, the al-nasiha al-mustahakka. And likewise, min al-huquq al-mustahabba wal-nasiha al-mustahabba lil-Qur'an. So from those things, أن يكثر من تلاوته وأن لا يحجره في تلاوته وتدبره. Right, so from the rights also is that we frequently recite the Qur'an, that we do not desert the Qur'an or leave the Qur'an and its reflection and pondering over it. And likewise, that we don't abandon using the Qur'an as a cure. The Qur'an is a cure for the bodies, just as it is a cure for the hearts and the souls as well. And whatever is similar like that, what the Sunnah has come with regarding the Qur'an. So the Shaykh is saying here, فَهَذَا مِنَ التَّوَاصُلِ مَا بَيْنَ ذِي النَّصِيحَةِ وَهُوَ الْعَبْدُ الْمُكَلَّفُ وَمَا بَيْنَ الْقُرْآنِ. So in other words, the Shaykh is saying that there has to be a continuous, like a tawasul, like a communication or interaction between the servant and the Qur'an. And this is how it ought to be, by way of these things, by recitation, reflection, acting, and so on and so forth. Why? Because nasiha, what is the meaning of nasiha? Nasiha is like when there's between two parties, there's like a gathering or union or a meeting between two parties, and nasiha. This is the meaning. And this is the right upon the servant, the Quran's right upon the servant, in the way that has been described. So this is end of question number 82. Brings us to question number 83. And question number 83 is, we'll read this question, inshallah, and we'll leave a commentary, or we can brief commentary, inshallah, from Sheikh Ahmed. So question 83, ma hukmu man qala bi khalqil Quran? What is the ruling on the one who says that the Qur'an is created? That the Qur'an is created. He said, Sheikh Hafiz says, Al-Qur'anu kalamullah azza wa jal haqiqatan hurufuhu wa ma'anih laysa kalamuhu al-huruf dun al-ma'ani. The Qur'an is the kalam of Allah. It is Allah's speech, the mighty and majestic. In reality, truthfully, it is in reality the speech of Allah, meaning that Allah is the one who spoke it. حروفه ومعاني. It is Allah's speech both in meaning and in its words or in its letters. Right? So meaning that Allah spoke this Quran with the letters that we read and with the meanings as well. Both the meaning and the letters, Allah spoke that. لَيْسَ كَلَامُهُ الْحُرُوفُ دُونَ الْمَعَانِي. The Qur'an is not Allah's speech in the letters only, devoid of meanings, nor وَلَا الْمَعَانِي دُونَ الْحُرُوفُ. Nor is the Qur'an just the meanings, aside from the letters. So meaning, the meanings are from Allah, they are His speech, but the letters are not from Allah's speech. Right? So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The meaning that we understand is from Allah, but Alif, Lam, Ha, Mim, Dal, Alhamdu, you know, all the way through. No, Allah didn't speak that. No, this is false. Both the letters and the meaning is Allah. Allah spoke that with letters and meaning. تكلم الله به قولا. Allah spoke it as speech, as his speech. وأنزله على نبيه وحيا. So Allah spoke it as speech, and then he revealed it to his prophet as revelation, right? So meaning that Allah actually spoke it, and then Jibreel alayhi salam, who heard it, he then brought it and conveyed it as wahi, in the different ways that wahi comes to the messenger of Allah. So he brought it to our prophet as wahi. وَآمَنَ بِهِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. The believers, meaning the sahaba, the companions, they believed in it, in reality. فَهُوَ وَإِنْ خُطَّ بِالْبَنَانِ وَتُلِيَ بِاللِّسَانِ وَحُفِذَ بِالْجَنَانِ وَسُمِعَ بِالْآذَانِ وَأَبْصَرَتْهُ الْعَيْنَانِ لَا يُخْرِجُهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ قَوْنِهِ كَلَامُ الرَّحْمَنِ. So he says, this Quran, like when it is written by the fingers, or recited by the tongue, or preserved or memorized by the hearts, or heard by the ears, or seen by the eyes, it does not remove it from being the kalam of Ar-Rahman. Then he goes on to explain what this means. He says, فَالْأَنَامِلُ وَالْمِدَادُ وَالْأَقْلَامُ وَالْأَوْرَاقُ مَخْلُوقًا. Right, so he clarifies so that we don't have any, you know, misunderstanding. He says, the fingertips and the ink and the pen and the paper are all created. Right? They're all created. وَالْمَكْتُوبُ بِهَا غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. But what is written by them is not created. Right? Now this might be somewhat confusing. So what is being said here is that the Quran is something that Allah spoke. He spoke it with voice and with letters, and it is His attribute, and Allah's attributes are uncreated. Right? So then that Quran that we have, no matter which way that Quran is found, whether it is written, whether it is memorized, whether it is spoken and recited, What is written, what is recited, what is memorized, meaning the speech of Allah, that is uncreated. But the medium, in every case, whatever the medium is, whether it's written, whether it's recited, whether it's, you know, memorized or whatever way, then the thing that's recited or memorized, that is not created. So let me give an example to make this absolutely clear, because this could be confusing. If there is, like, maybe how all the people here, if we all recited Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, right? So when I recite it, that's my voice that you've heard. It's my voice. Now if you recite it and you recite it and you recite it, we're going to hear three other voices, four or five, and many other voices. Each person's voice is different. That is a created voice. But the words being conveyed through that voice, so there is the voice and there are the words, right? So we've got to make a distinction between the qira'ah and the maqru', right? The qira'ah is the act of reciting. I'm reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is my voice that you are hearing. You are hearing my voice. But through my voice, there are words which are being conveyed. Those words, they are not my words. They're not my words. They do not belong to me. The words belong to the one who spoke them. And Allah Azawajal is the one who said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. These are His words. These are Allah's words, my voice. And if you recite it, this your voice, it's Allah's words, right? So while the voice is created because I am created and you are created, right? The words which are being conveyed through the voice, They were words that were actually spoken by Allah. And that is what is uncreated. Meaning, what is uncreated is when Allah spoke those words. Right? And the Quran that we recite is the spoken word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this does not mean at all, once we understand this, this does not mean at all that Allah's attribute of speech or His voice has entered into the creation, because this doesn't happen. This, you know, attributes don't leave a person, right? This is a mistake of the Christians, because they say that the word become flesh, and this is the argument that the Christians use. They come to the Muslims who don't know any better, and they say, well, if you believe the Quran is uncreated and it's in the creation, how can you then deny that Jesus is uncreated and He's God and He's in the creation, just like your Quran is in the creation and it is Allah's uncreated speech, right? And so they think that somehow that we believe that this, the physical book and the pages and the ink and the writing, that we believe this is actually Allah's, you know, speech that is turned into the Quran. Just like they say that Jesus is the actual flesh. He is Allah's word that's become flesh. And this is from ignorance, because the attributes do not leave a person. Right? The attributes do not become, you know, on their own and turn into anything. The attribute always remains with the one who possesses the attribute, right? So, to give an example, if somebody is outside on the street and he speaks, and, you know, we hear the voice coming through the window, doesn't mean that person's his attribute of speech left us and it became, now it's in this room and it's no longer with him, or it's with him and here as well. No, he just spoke and we heard his voice, we heard his words. His attribute is still with him and his words are his attribute. They are still with him, right? It doesn't mean that his attribute has left him, right? So this misconception is something that the Christians are upon, and they're able to use this argument because of Ahlul Bid'ah wa Dalal, the people of innovation, like the Ash'aris, the Kullabiyya, the Mu'tazila, because they deviated on this issue. They are the ones who say this Quran that we have, actually they say the Quran is is created, it's not Allah's speech, because they fell into some of these misconceptions. So we must distinguish between the created medium through which the words of Allah are conveyed and the actual words of Allah which are being conveyed. We must distinguish between those two things, right? Simple example is like the voice. You know, you hear my voice, then you hear that person's voice, then you hear that person's voice. Each time, you're hearing a different person's voice. The voices are different, and those voices are created, but the words which are being conveyed through the voice, they are the words that Allah first spoke. And whatever Allah spoke is uncreated. Allah's words are uncreated. Right? So he then goes on to say, وَالْأَلْصُنْ وَالْأَصْوَاتْ مَخْلُوقَةً. The tongues and the voices are created. وَالْمَتْلُوُّ بِهَا عَلَى اخْتِلَافِهَا غِيرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. But what is recited through them is not created. وَالصُّدُورْ مَخْلُوقَةً. وَالْمَحْفُوظُ فِيهَا غِيرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. The chests are created, but what is preserved therein, the words which are preserved, are not created. وَالْأَسْمَاءُ مَخْلُوقَةُ وَالْمَسْمُوءُ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. The hearings of people are created, but what is heard is not created. Right? So the voice that you hear, your hearing is created and the voice is created, but the words being conveyed and heard, you know, they are the ones that Allah spoke. And when Allah spoke them, they are not created. Then he brings ayat from the Quran. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ. Indeed, it is a noble Quran in a preserved book. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. But rather it is clear verses in the hearts or in the chests of those who have been given knowledge. And then he continues another ayah, وَاتْلُوا مَا أُوْهِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. Recite what has been revealed to you of the book of your Lord. There is no changing of his words. وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. If any of the polytheists seeks from you like safe passage, then give it to him until he hears the word of Allah. Meaning until he hears the word of Allah through those who recite it. So he called it the word of Allah. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, أَدِيمُ النَّظَرْ فِي الْمُصْحَفِ. You know, constantly look towards, you know, into the Mushaf. Then he says, وَالنُّصُوصُ فِي ذَلِكَ لَا تُحْسَى وَمَنْ قَالَ الْقُرْآنُ أَوْ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ كُفْرًا أَكْبَرٌ يُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْكُلِّيَةِ. The texts about this are very many, but whoever says the Qur'an or anything from the Qur'an is created, then he is a disbeliever with a major disbelief, which expels him from Islam entirely. لأن القرآن كلام الله تعالى منه بدأ وإليه يعود. Because the Quran is the speech of Allah, the Exalted. It is from Him, from it did it come, and to Him shall it return. وكلامه صفاته. His kalam is His sifa, is His speech. ومن قال شيء من صفات الله مخلوق فهو كافر مرتد. Whoever says any of the attributes of Allah are created, that he is a disbeliever, an apostate, يُعْرَضُ عَلِيهِ الرُّجُوعِ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. He is offered, or, you know, presented to return back to Islam. فَإِنْ رَجِعَ وَإِلَّا قُتِلْ كُفْرًا. So either he returns or he's, you know, ended for his disbelief. لَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ مِنْ أَحْكَامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he no longer has any of the rulings of, you know, the Muslims or being a Muslim applicable to him. Right, so this is the answer to question number 83 regarding anyone who says the Quran is created. Inshallah, we will leave the commentary for that for the next lesson, insha'Allah ta'ala, and we'll bring our lesson there today to a close. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.